Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you? No, I don't own a laundromat. No, not a dry cleaner's either. I don't know where you recognize me from. I'm sure maybe we have met. Oh, my friend, yes. Let me just finish real super quick. Join me now for American Nutrition. I lost my place. Gosh, it's good to see you, though. Maybe we very much, well, may have met. I don't know where. That's just me. What am I doing? I'm just messing around with my trumpet. You say, why don't you just get a harmonica? Oh, everybody has one of those. I like to mess around on the trumpet, and then I say, hey, I'm tooting my own horn like that. And people say, maybe you should become proficient on the horn before you go around tooting it. And I say, sir, how do you even know that it's my horn? Perhaps I am renting until I get good at it. What I'm trying to demonstrate is how terrible I am at it. And I'm just saying, I'm making a statement, hey, just because you're bad at something doesn't mean that you could have been good at it or you didn't practice or whatever. Actually, it's just absolutely meaningless. It says nothing. I like to do things that are meaningless for you, like play my trumpet and all, because I know that you were dropping by my house here. You were walking by my front door and you said, I just can't take so much of this outside world anymore. I got to escape into Hardy's little house because I know he will help me forget my troubles. In fact, he'll help me forget everything, even if I was trying to remember it. Like, where are my car keys, Hardy? I don't know. Forget it. Let's do this. It's like I can do sound effects on it. Oh, I'm so excited to be able to pick up something like that. I don't know how to play. What kind of instruments don't you know how to play, Hardy? All of them. So my world is so exciting. Oh, it remains a challenge always to me. And I love having you come over to my house. I always have something ready to show you. You know, it's always like show and tell and tell and tell and tell and tell and tell with me. In fact, when you think about it, it's radio. There is no real show to it. A lot of you order the picture book at home, so I have the pictures that you did in crayon that you send out to the listeners, but still, it doesn't help. Well, they're abstract drawings. So you're just looking at really just a blotch of gray there. But stare at it, and then you can imagine my little house, little apartment. Is it like Fred Rogers' house? You see, remember Mr. Rogers' house on TV? My house is like that, but imagine that he had no one to clean for him. And stuff just started to get like, oh, pardon me about these VCR tapes over here. I was just actually using them to prop something up. I know this. And you can't, thank goodness, you can't smell it. But I just want you to come in anyway. Do I have to have a hospital to be hospitable, Hardy? Do I have to have a tent to let people into my tent like Father Abraham? No, you don't have to have a hospital tent like you're a Hawkeye. You can welcome people into your humble abode, and it doesn't even have to be an abode like me. It's just this little room. Come on in. Forget your troubles. Come on in. Shut the door behind you, though, because there is an awful draft, and they're doing construction out there, and it smells like tar. I got to be frank with you. Come inside. I want to show you this. What is that? That's a fort. That's awful tiny for a fort. Just looks like a boot box. Not a shoe box, but a boot box. You know the difference. One is square, one is rectangular. You can bury different types of pets in each one. The rectangular one's good for birds and fish or whatever. But the big one, the big square one, I don't even know what you could put in there. A whole guinea pig or whatever, a family, if there was a tragedy of them. But what is it? Is that, that's a fort? It's a model of a fort. Isn't that neat? I got it as a child. And it was from one of those toy stores that was sort of fancy. So this is not a regular toy store, because look at this model of it for a fort. It looks really like all those logs on the outside. It's a log fort from a period of this country's history called log times, or pointed log times, when everything had those pointed logs around it because we didn't have massive stones. And we had to make forts and protect ourselves because we were taking people's things and everything and their land and all. And some of them had become aggrieved and said, we need to put up a fort fence and it'll help. You know, because what they say is good fences make good neighbors, especially if you're taking things from the neighbor or whatever. But as time went on and I learned more about history, at first it was glamorized for me. I'd look at it and say, exciting, what exciting times. And I didn't realize that people on both sides, all people had loss and everything because of this mentality of sieging one another and warring with one another. So my little fort, which was once a plaything, it started to change for me. I said, I don't know if I want to do this. I'm not having fun anymore. So I used different characters and everything, and I'd change up the little playthings that I'd use. Say, I'm not going to use a little soldier character anymore in the fort. I'm going to go get myself over here, and I'm going to go get his, I don't even know what this is, gum or something, or a seed. I'll use that, oh, hello, I'm having fun. And he'd dance around the fort like that, and we wouldn't think about those harsh things like that. To this day, when I play with my fort, you can see right there and right in the middle, that action figure is the wrong scale, as they say in the business. This is a big action figure of a Freud. Somebody gave it to me as a joke. It's like an action pose Freud doll. And so I have Freud standing in the middle of this fort, and he's saying, oh, get me a thimble full of soy sauce. Why are you saying that? No reason. So he can pretend to have tea or something like that. And sometimes Freud sits down and he says, let's play like it's Gulliver's Travels. And one of them says, I always get Gulliver and Gilligan. I'll get switched up. No, they're different. Gilligan is, he's the one who wrote a lot of, Irishman who wrote satirical pieces about how the people should eat the poor or whatever. I know. That's different. Sherwood Schwartz. Who am I thinking of? Oh, my goodness. I'm glad to be able to play fort with you. If you get thirsty, let me know. I don't know what you like to drink in your house, and I'm not even sure I have something that's worth offering to you. Do you ever have a friend over, and you often say, what do you want to drink? And you say, "What? I have grape juice, I have..." And you name all the fruits, every fruit, and that's not what they want. You start listing liquors, it's not water, just plain water, nothing. And you feel bad. You say, maybe I can't satisfy this person's thirst. And you look at him and say, do you need homeopathy? Maybe something wrong with you. You don't know what you want to drink. You have some glandular problem that keeps you from coming up with a preference when it comes to a beverage or something. Think about it. Just have the grape juice or whatever. There is a saying, when in Rome. And what that means is that when you're around other people that have a custom, a minhag, you do what they do. What you all do, right? And then when would you depart from that? So let's say that you go and you live among a people. Let's make it a fictional person, because there's no way to make it a real person and not have all your prejudice kick in, right? So that's why we have little fairy tales like that. That's why Dr. Seuss can't say to you something directly. He's going to say, I can't really talk about your id. I've got to call it your cat in a hat. Or, I don't know, whatever like that. I can't really say Nazi. I have to say Starbelly Sneech. I don't know that they're Nazis. I'm just giving you an example that's incorrect. What do they call those? An incorrect example. Lie or something like that. I don't know what it is. I don't know. We probably all didn't even get into that kind of stuff. Talking about grape juice and all that. Get back to playing with the fort. I think you're getting off the subject. Oh, my gosh, how are we going to play fort without having an enemy on the outside? What good's the fort? How do we make an excuse for the fort? What do we say it is? Well, when you're a child and you have a fort, we always made that. So what are you hiding from? What is the whole world, really. Scared of everything. You know, adults, the old adult world. I want a little tiny place to go and hide. All children want that. If something really goes down at the Admiral Benbow Inn, I want a little nook to go into and hide while the pirates kill each other and my parents, and then I can come back at the end and go, woo, I'm glad they didn't get me. Oh, I didn't think it through. It's pretty horrible. But still, I'm glad they didn't get me. And all children want some little place to scurry away like a little mouse. Please take care of me, universe. How do you see the universe? How do you see it? Is it as a cartoon Navy commander from the 18th century? No, hard. That's not even close. Really? No, it's not even close. I don't know. I was just putting it out there. I don't know your heart. Sit down, but we'll do something different than play with the fort. We don't have to do that. I'm sorry when you come over, I get all pushy. I'm sorry I do that. I get all dictatorial. Come in my house, I say, oh, you got to do this. You got to play charades. It's not the same game as charades, too. That's people go, oh, I get so frustrated. And then I get all angry and everything. I'm sorry. It's so hard to be my friend. I think I'm doing you a favor. You're doing me a favor. Got coming and being with me and just recognizing who I am. Oh, I'm so afraid. I got to tell you this house at the Napa. I'm afraid of the neighbors. Why? I don't know because I don't know them. And I'm afraid what they'll think of me. Oh, you shouldn't care what people think about you. No, unless they think I'm some sort of threat and they want to nip it in the bud, then I do care. So what I do now is I sit out on the front lawn and I enact my life, what I like to do, so everybody can see. So there's no secrets or anything. I pretend to fish, and then I'll go over, I'll pretend to, this is all in mime, pretend to cook and everything. So the neighbors can see, you know, what do you, because they look over the house, and I know they think, what are you doing in there and all. I said, well, you know, I'm just a normal person. Some of it I do the spooky cult rites that have been in my family a long time. But we're not hurting anybody, right? And nowadays we use a turnip, right? Because we don't want to hurt anybody. So, but that's my business. I don't, a lot of things, the only reason to keep things secret, and there's a lot, is you don't want anybody to misinterpret it. That's why I say you wouldn't understand some of the things deep in my heart, perhaps. So we use art that time to get it out. So what's deep in your heart? It's like a child with big eyes or something. Get it out of there. I need to express myself. They say express it, but they also use that term in medicine. Say it's to express yourself. But they mean like to get to remove pus from. So what can that really mean? For tonight, I want you all to read the first chapter of the book. What are you, a teacher? I'm sorry, I was quoting part of a lecture I did when I spoke at the university one time. The university came to my grocery store one time and they said, do y'all have cheese? And I said, yes, I will speak at your university. You want me to talk about the neighborhood market as it relates vis-a-vis the new trendy market downtown. You know, what's that have to do with us? I said, I would gladly come and speak to your class. What is it? And I said, well, I teach English. I said, okay, I'll be there. When do you want me? And I went and I talked to this university class, just humble little old me. But something that I said to them stuck with me. And it was this. It was the way I introduced myself. I said, who am I? Why am I here? And I said, Admiral Stockdale said that at the vice presidential debate for whatever election. I don't even remember now. We don't know now. And he ran with Ross Perot, who at the time was a very tiny little person, who was also very, very rich. And Admiral Stockdale said, who am I? Why am I here? And he had been a prisoner of war, all right? So when he said that, we thought, oh, no, he doesn't know. But he did know. It was rhetorical. He was thinking, you know, you're probably asking yourself that. Now, when we see people, we should look at them and we should think, what are they asking themselves about me? And then we should go out on our front lawn and act it out in the form of a skit. Now, you can talk. I didn't talk. But you can set up a little microphone out there and say, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to announce myself. I'm a human being living a quiet little life in here. And I'm just about as scared as you are and uncertain of the future. I remember a vague idea how to do it from my parents, but as you know, they were imperfect people, probably like yours were. And so I'm not exactly sure what my place is in the community, let alone the universe. So I just wanted to show you what I do to get by, some basic little recipes that I like that I think are fun and everything, and just say I wouldn't hurt anybody ever. And I won't steal your mower. So I just wanted to say that. And I hope that someday when someone finds my things, and will they find your things, Yes, that's frightening to know, but they're going to go through all your things, and that's history. So if you're not content having like a cabin with a bunch of pictures you took of yourself in frames all around, people looking at it real carefully, saying, that's who lived here and everything. And then some hat you got because it was raining, right? And they found that. They said, this is his favorite hat. So they make this museum of the future based on who they thought you were, based on your detritus, things you threw away. Those are the things they thought were precious to you. But perhaps you have taken them with you. Many people do that. They say, I'm going to take all of my possessions to the grave with me. There's only two ways to do that. One is to literally take all the possessions to the grave with you, as did the ancient Egyptians, set up a little room down there, stack all of your stuff up here. I know some people that have mainly, they would have lots of amps. There's lots of middle-aged fellas I know that their tombs right now would have lots of old amplifiers and different guitars and everything, pedals. And their wife would be going, oh, Lord, I was hoping that they would take this stuff to the grave. Really, for Lord's sake, how many Fender Twins do you need? Right? Shove them down there in the crypt. With my butt, well, boo-hoo, I'm missing it all, but it's nice to have it going. So those people who take your things literally like that with you, put your vi stuff your viscera in jars. There's some really cool jar. I get a kind of a high-end yogurt that comes in a fancy jar. I'm going to use that for my spleen when I die. I've cleaned it all out and everything. And a friend who at Berea is making me a pottery vessel for my heart. I think that's such a beautiful thing to do, to make someone a heart vessel for them, if that's what they believe, if they're the Take It With You Club. Another way to take it with you is to not take it with you. How do you do that? Well, that's an easier one. Just do nothing. Check nothing, and we'll do it automatically for you. We'll leave your things here. I'm sorry. My possessions, what are they? What do I own? And do I own you? Do I own anything? I think about that. If I want, see those movies where somebody goes to jail, when they get out, they go, here's an envelope at all your possessions. You know? You say, here's a ring and a little ticket for shoes, for shoe repair. You go, oh my God, I've been in prison for 15 years and I got a ticket for the shoe repair. Oh, that's, you know what? I'm going to take it by the shoemaker. See if it's still there. This would be funny. So you go by, get out of prison, you take your shoe receipt, and you go by the old shoemaker, and you say, here, I got this receipt. Shoemaker takes the receipt, goes in the back. A few minutes later, you say, you got him? And the shoemaker says, yeah, and they'll be ready next Thursday. I stole that joke so bad from Paul Harvey. And he could have stolen it. He probably stole it too. But I just stole it. And I'm telling it to you as a piece of history. That's why I say that it's Paul Harvey's joke. He didn't do the prison thing. I put an edge on it. I found this, it's like finding your granddad's Boy Scout knife saying, I'm going to sharpen this to like a razor. I could cut throats. But he didn't have, his wasn't prison. It was just a fella finds an old ticket to get shoes. Did you hear me? I was legitimately cracking myself up. Because I just think that's the funniest joke ever. And also, I think I've displayed my ignorance by laughing at this corny old joke. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. It's like finding out someone you thought was like a heavy drinker has one little sip of something and just loses it. That's me too. I love to drink in moderation. When I say that, I'm not making a joke like I'm secretly W.C. Fields. I literally mean really in moderation. I like it. I like the taste of it, but it doesn't take much. Bless my heart. And I don't like to get too loopy because I find that it damages my ability to make good moral choices. Oh, I like to make good choices and just not at restaurants. I like to make good choices when I go out, not just at restaurants. I like to make good choices when it comes to my relationships with people, and I don't like to have hatred in my heart. How do I get it out? Listen, if you don't nurture it, don't toy with having hatred in your heart. This is what it's like too. Don't toy. You say, oh, I don't want anything to grow in my ear ever. To get something in there and something like English ivy starts growing in my ear and the roots start going into my brain and thing. Don't put a seed in there. Don't mess with putting seeds in there, because I'm not saying everyone will take root, but a seed is like that. You put that in there and it finds the waxy humus of your ear. And that's enough for it to grow as like a petri dish or some kind of medium, right? Or dirt, ear dirt. And it starts to grow. And all of a sudden you got a plant growing out of your head. And your brain is no longer a brain. It's just fertilizer for some kind of plant. And that's what it is. That's what hatred is. That's what anger and fear are. You let them in a little bit and you think, I'm using them in such moderation, Hardy. I'm just saying I hate this or that or this person ought to. I'm just doing a little. How do we learn? I believe we learn by going to museums where people reenact things. I think the ultimate museum would be going to one that reenacts little portions of your life. Wouldn't that be fun? And they say, well, I don't have enough money to have it actually be really real actors. They don't have to be. They can be mannequins that light up and then a recording plays. I don't want to go to school today, Daddy. Like that. So I remember that vaguely. Ooh, they could have used wax. Whether it's made out of paper mache or something. They're plaster. Oh, my friends, to be able to look at that tour one's history. Like they show you in a museum. They show you all those things. They want you to explore is, then they have the reenacting museum where you go and you actually experience living history with those actors who say they're really there. I'm speaking to you from across the great expanse of time. Well, it looks like you're just right there. No. I'm your great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, his grandfather as well. And I'm standing here in history at the edge of history. And there's a small stream between us, and that is the stream of time. But we have this window now, thanks to some strange mystery that allows us to communicate across this great barrier, this great gulf of consequences of lives and generations that has gone on forever. Like some kind of dominoes, but they're standing up instead of going down. That's people. Then they also fall down when you're not looking. What? Go on. No, I think I was done. Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, what about the ancestors? So they talk to you across time. That's what the historical reenactors are. And they're sort of docents, but they're saying, I am Sally Jo May, and I lived back then in 1778. And I walked around. This is the skirt I walked around in. It was very uncomfortable. And I'm wearing a thing on my head. What is that you're wearing on your head? Oh, it's all sorts of plant, like bark and everything. I'm just wrapped around there for no reason, for the shade, because they didn't have hats. You know, all sorts of things like that. And so you learn about it because they're living it. So a lot of kids today say, oh, why don't you just go to Target or whatever, get what you need. They didn't have that. They had to make it themselves, so they needed some kind of novelty drink container or something. They'd have to make that up to think about it. How do I make plastic like that? And then take it from there. Sometimes you'd never get to actually have your idea come to fruition, you know, because sometimes you don't have everything that you need. Why? Because being protected by fence, you think that this wall is going to keep the bad things out. But it's just keeping you away from your solutions, too. Because everything's closed off to the world and to others. If all our solutions are kept separate, oh, somehow we'll be managed. Let them fly apart. How can I do that? Oh, become a historical reenactor for the future. That's how you do it. You pick our wonderful future time. And you say, now I'm going to dress up like a future person. Now, you don't have to shave your head and get a silver jumpsuit. It doesn't have to be that future. You know, you can imagine any future you want, then be a reenactor from that time. Well, I can't do that. I don't know the technology. Like, I can't run a 4D printer. You don't have to. Just imagine it and say, oh, we did a 4D printer like that. And you needed a boot, like a boot box, not a shoe box, but a boot box that you can make into a little fort or something. I still feel playful in my heart. I don't want to be a child. I don't want to be thought of as childish. I don't want to be thought of as a fool necessarily. I am an adult, you know, and I want all the perquisites that come with being an adult. So I want to move on from being a foolish little child. But I harbor a secret, a great secret, and that's a longing to play and be free and to express myself, a longing to confess without guile. You know, say, I like that. So no one's scolding their finger at me. You know, children too naive to not tell you their hearts sometimes. And I want to be that. I like to play. I like to think that people on the train aren't strangers. I don't know. Maybe I'm losing my mind as I get older. Maybe I'm turning back into a child. Oh, Grandpa don't know. He thinks that all people are his family. Some people forget who their family are and think they're strangers. I'm starting to forget who strangers are and I'm thinking they're family. Oh, who are you? Are you my cousin Jordan? I don't have a cousin Jordan. That's so funny. I picked that one name. I don't have one. Are you my cousin Jordan? Remember that book when you were little? Are you my mama? Are you my mama? No, I'm a piece of construction machinery, you fool. Get some glasses on you. Bless your heart, baby. Maybe that old blind, who's that old blind bird in the corner? That's my mama. Bless her heart. Oh, I know. Oh, a lot of you Englanders are saying, old blind bird, that sounds, we have that expression. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it like that. Do you want to go on a cartoon with me? So sometimes you play little cartoons on your show. I know. I have little adventures. My friend Lou and Butchie, sometimes we like to go places, and I can give you examples of things. So here I am talking about going to museums where they recreate things. They recreate history. So welcome into this is the 18th century, sir. Yes, sir. And we ate apples aplenty. And eat them and stuff like that. This is an ox. But I wanted to demonstrate that. I'm taking you there with me on one of the radio cartoons now. That's one of the reasons you come over, right? We can't just be playing with my fort all the time. Sometimes we need to get on my Naugahyde love seat, stare at that monitor, which doesn't work, and listen to one of these cartoons and just let our minds drift away like... Toby, something?
Make the next legal U-turn.
Okay, I get it.
You lost?
No, I just turned the wrong way.
Make the next legal U-turn now.
Turn around.
I know, I'm looking for a safe place.
Dude, anywhere.
I'm with Navi.
All right, here we go.
Go 1/4 mile on Askirby Highway.
Just stay on Askirby.
Remain on Askirby Highway. Then exit onto 5611 125 East and West Man Sandwich Avenue.
What's this fort we're going to, Hardy?
So, you know how if people want to kill you, you build a fort with a candle-making cabin and a blacksmith and a gift shop and all that to protect yourself? I used to build forts all the time as a kid. Oh, this one's much bigger. Ours were to fend off people who wanted to kill us because we were on their land. Oh, wow, okay. Yeah, my parents, what can I say? It was not a predicament I would have put myself in.
I understand. My friends and I just built regular forts out of rotten wood and broken folding deck lounge chairs.
Was the fort we're going to ever under siege?
Yes, but the occupants of the fort made likenesses of themselves out of gourds and their old clothes, and the attackers thought that there were more of them than there were, and that they were gourd-faced gods, and ran away. That's a Gilligan's Island episode a bit, but go on.
I honestly know little about the place.
When I was a kid, we'd go to some rustic village where reenactors made a type of colonial candy out of horse butter and sweet tree bark.
Back in the day, our ancestors, and funny enough, none of whom were my ancestors, would get by on what they could as they forged into this wooded country, bringing with them nothing but the idea that everything was theirs.
I have the same spirit wherever I go. I believe so passionately in sharing that I don't mind sharing your stuff, even if you aren't into it. I mean, within reason. I mean, if I see you're using your pool, then no. But if I don't see you there, I might make use of it and put in a tiki bar and then put up a gate to keep you out. I have a new pool, by the way.
Turned right into your destination.
Are we there yet? I need a historical hat. Bad.
You are at your destination.
We're here.
Great, let's go.
Yeah, I'm jazzed.
Run on ahead. I want to grab some water bottles from the trunk.
You're outside of the fort and they think you're a punk. So you go get your public radio water bottles that you keep in the trunk.
Come on, Earbone Crusher.
No, Skies, I'm telling you.
Well, that's a neat-looking fort. It looks just like a toy fort I had as a kid.
And here are my water bottles. And where's the fort? Where's the fort? Where did it go? Did I get turned? Where'd the fort go? Where's the fort? Where's the fort?
A lot of times things disappear like that. Museums, buildings, big buildings. They do it in movies all the time. Look around. Where is it gone? In real life, often you'll be driving down a street, a regular street that you always drive down on the way somewhere, and you'll notice that on the right or the left where there used to be a building is now an empty lot. And it'll look very different to you, say, there's an empty lot there where there used to be. And try as you might, you will not be able to recall what was just torn down. Now that it's gone, you can't remember what was there, even though apparently you looked at it every single day and made some sort of mental record of it, or you wouldn't notice it was gone. But what was it? What is it that was there that is now absent? I can go back and look at pictures of it, but I can never experience it again now that it's gone.
Perhaps if that was your grandparents' apartment building, if they lived there when they first moved to this country from and moved to Pakistan, and they purchased that place and they had lived there all through good times and bad, and it's why your ancestors even came to this area, then it was knocked down in some sort of legal dispute you'd remember, but if not, you might never know what it was.
It was an A&P, it wasn't. Oh, maybe it was a gateway to another world, another time or dimension or something.
Probably wasn't. Probably it's like an old warehouse or something. Oh, my friends, I feel like not only my house is a little house that you come to visit. And you're, why are you looking at your watch? You just get it? Not only do you come to visit like this and just for to have company and all, but I feel like also it's like a vehicle that we can drive around in, like it's an RV or something. Like you come over to in my house, they visit, and then I go, hey, you want to drive the house around? You go, come on, Hardy, let's explore the world. And we do, just like that little gentleman doggy and the boy he owns, which is wrong, super wrong. But they go through time together, and I hope he's learned how through his experiences in time how wrong that is to own the child like that. It's icky. I don't care if he is a dog, now that I'm looking back. I'm not going to name any names. Bless his heart. And it's important, though, to learn history, even though you think it's tarnished. On the Antiques Roadshow, there a lot of times you'll say, you'll bring them something, they'll go, this is great, but where's the poop? I go, poop? What do you mean? You go, this is supposed to have poop smeared all over it. You go, no, I took cleaned it off. Why'd you clean off the poop? That's what made it real. Without poop, you know it. This is even in the title of it. What is it? It's a poop smeared jar. I don't know what. I'm just using that as an example. But sometimes if you try to clean something up, you take away its value, especially if it's papered with $100 bills or something. Just, could you peel them off carefully? I could peel off anything you want carefully. Don't, though. Okay, just leave it there. But we'll just go ahead and leave it there. There's no use to removing some things. Just go ahead and live with them. When I used to live in another country, I'd go by this other country walls, stone walls, and people had put up
posters on there, advertising things, you know, small and large posters. And over time, they get ripped down, but not all of it. Some of it remains glued to the wall. And other posters will come along, and they get ripped down until this mosaic is made, to this collage is made there. Beautiful composition. Usually, you could see things in it. So was that is that a face or a pack of Camel cigarettes? What illusion do I see in there? And I love that art, cooperative art that's made unintentionally over time. And what is some other cooperative art that's made unintentionally over time? From broken, ripped up dreams. Yes. You're right.
What did they all say?
Didn't you hear what everybody said? Didn't you hear their answer? Why don't you have it?
Could you just say it in case I don't know it?
No, I don't want to insult your intelligence or mine. And I forgot what we were talking about. I do like, that's one of the reasons that we switched to cartoons. Say, Hardy, I'd love to hear you go on like that. You sure you don't need to stop now that you're out of things to say? No. People say when they invite me to speak somewhere, they go, you've left the topic now for a good 15 minutes. Were you in fact done? Yes. In a way, I'm done. Now I'm moving on. I said I would speak for an hour. I'm going to go ahead and give you the rest of your hour. I'm sorry if there's nothing in it. No, that's not right at all. I like to disguise it that way. Because I want to keep you guessing. It's like when you do go to a funhouse or museum, so you don't know, you want to know what's around every corner. Do you really? Do you really? Or would you like to be surprised? Oh, it's a teenager grabbing you. We can do that. We don't have, there's no laws about what we can do in our haunted, scary mansion. Oh, my goodness. I'd like to have a real scary mansion. It's scary because of it's falling apart. I just bought a real one and just took down the tape that said condemned. And now it's a legitimately terrifying experience. Doesn't need to be specters in it or anything like that. There's really dangerous people who have gone to live in it. Be afraid of them. Be afraid of things that are real. Oh, I'm not afraid to explore the regions of my heart. We often have kitchens that we haven't gone behind the stove in some time because we don't want to see what's there. I don't want to move this stove. I can only imagine all the grease and grime and stuff that's back there. Why don't you look at it anyway? Why don't you just go on to build up and cause a fire? Let's just pull that stove out. Admit defeat. Admit that you're filth, you live in kitchen filth. And let's just go ahead and clean it. It may kill you, it may kill the stove. But oh my goodness, it'd be a great thing. Look at those dirty places. Clean them out. Make that soul revived. You know, without torment and fear and hatred. So you don't have that rage. That's a symptom. Oh, if you're feeling, I'm feeling angry rage. Oh, my goodness, come on over. Let me hug you. I may not hug you physically in reality, because one, I'm not near you. And two, I don't know how you feel about that. I don't want to get weird or anything. I don't know. It makes me a little bit uncomfortable. But I may hug you like this. Mentally over there, say I'm figuratively putting my arms around you. It's all right. Even cry. Let it out. My frustration not being loved, cry. Let it out. It's all right. I'm another human being. I don't mind hearing it. And I'm not going to give you some condition at the end of this. I'll just say, anonymously, I'm telling you, it's so painful, all this pain. Oh, my goodness. Let's just huddle in here. Let's come to my fort. Escape with me in here for a minute. Let's just huddle together. Oh, I don't know what to do either. I feel like I have no more intelligence or sophistication or wisdom than a child. And I wish there's some adult come tell me what to do, but I know there isn't. I know there isn't. And it's going to be, I'm going to have to step out like Pee-wee, and I'm going to have to say, please, stop. Please, come on now. Behave. What's it going to take? Let's go talk about it here. What's it going to take? Let me look into your... got more cartoons?
Yes, got to play the rest of these cartoons. People going to wonder what happened on our adventure.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't want to leave them hanging ever. So let's hear a little more of our adventure.
What's this? Anybody know?
Powderhorn.
Powderhorn, that's right. Anybody know what it's for?
Keep your gunpowder in.
Keep your gunpowder in, that's right. Anybody know why?
Keep it dry.
That's right, it's that simple. They use the powderhorn to keep their gunpowder in, to keep it dry. And then they put it in like that, this and all. Anybody know what this is?
A time fissure detector?
That's right. What's it used for?
Detecting time fissures?
That's right. Why?
Time monkeys?
And why is that bad?
They can suck time energy.
It's that simple. They use this stick, this one's made of Black Willie, to detect time fissures to keep out the time monkeys, who might suck time energy and destroy the fort. This was against company rules and moral law.
Excuse me, where's the powder room?
You mean the room where the powder's kept?
I guess.
Are you asking where's the small dark room where we keep the gunpowder, or saying you have to use the restroom?
Both, sorta, depending on how finicky you are about your gunpowder staying dry.
What type of snack cracker was eaten by the people who lived in the fort?
Everything they had, they made. And things took time. The seasoned pretzel and cereal snack mix would take months to just make a handful.
I noticed that some of the historical reenactors here say we, but you say they. Like, they're pretending to be a person who once lived in the fort and you aren't.
I can't do it. Some of the other folks are comfortable playing pretend and all, but I'm not. I never lived here. I'm just a history buff is all.
Question. Is the fort clothes optional?
What?
Do you have to wear clothes here?
Well, yes, of course.
Oh, that's a pity. What a gorgeous day. Hey, come over here. A lady is going to teach us how to make dirt.
We fort families struggle with a lot of things, and one of them is having enough fresh dirt. So sometimes we have to make our own from rotten vegetables and ground glass.
I'm thirsty.
Let's go to the gift shop. Maybe they have some period drink.
I think they drank fresh, clean water.
Ah, that sounds good. With some tang in it.
They didn't have tang.
Of course they did. They travel with it. It's dried.
They did not have that.
Of course they did. I'll ask. Did y'all have tang?
You mean me now or back when the fort...
Did you fort families have tang?
Oh, no. We had no oranges to dry out and then chemically duplicate. But we made many powders out of all of the dried things around us. Like mummies.
There were no mummies.
Mummies attacked the fort once. After Bela Lugosi-style cape-wearing vampires kidnapped the captain's daughter, the fort family sought revenge and killed some of the vampires. The mummies and the vampires are allies and joined forces a few months later and lay siege to the fort.
But the fort families fought strong.
We shall fight strong!
But the mid-century movie monsters just kept coming.
Question. Do you base your research on items that you find while excavating the site?
Yes. That's how we know that the early settlers of this region were alligator people who wore large round helmets on their heads so that they could breathe on land.
Alligators can breathe on land.
She said alligator people.
Oh.
Let's hit the gift shop. The local blacksmith makes recreations of the weapons used by the enemies of the fort people.
Yeah, the samurai swords are beautiful. He makes them from car leaf springs.
I wish I could go back then and see what it was like.
Be careful what you wish for.
Wow, we're back in time.
It looks just like it did years ago.
Welcome to the museum, boys. Are you new?
Museum?
Yes. You're at the Oldsboro Deep Woods Outpost Fort Museum and Living History Center.
So you were originally built as a museum?
Oh, of course. Who knows, though? In hundreds of years, they could find these ruins and mistake us for a settler's outpost or something. But clearly, we are a museum.
Did we travel through time or not?
We're in some weird place where it doesn't matter.
Are we living history? Or are we living a story about a fake history?
If this is a fake,
Then where did that old iron ladle come from?
Oh, no. That ladle, as you call it, is the shame hat.
It's a ladle.
No, 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 no. Look, you wear the bowl over your head like this, and the long iron ponytail sticks down there and you look ridiculous. It was put on those who didn't properly remove the soup from the kettle.
And what are those tongs for?
Oh, those are calipers. They were used to measure body fat percentage. Fitness was a big deal in the fort. Oh, by the way, there's going to be a demonstration in the courtyard in 2 minutes. Every 2 hours in the summer, the historic reenactors perform a demonstration on the center green.
Citizens of the fort, gather round. Join me today for a demonstration. As we demonstrate against the conditions here at the fort and demand changes that are due to us as part of our rights as human beings and historical reenactor docents. First of all, we demand a dress casual day where we can wear something from home like our ancestors did.
Hey, fellas.
It's Baltimore. Hey, Baldy.
Hey, I got a job here. Come here.
What are you doing?
I'm working the character sketch cabin.
What's that?
Oh, back in the old days, if you wanted a cartoon sketch of yourself doing a certain activity or hobby, you'd come to a cabin like this, and a chap like me would recreate a crude likeness on parchment using only charcoal from the fire and a Sharpie. There, look, you've got a big nose and you're bowling.
I didn't know you were into history.
I'm not. But I have to make a living, and the fake royalty game isn't working out these days. Fellas, do me a favor and go to the commissary and get me some fresh spring water I can use for my tang.
Okay, what size?
An El Capitan, please. Oh, and a mint soap lozenge.
By the way, how do we get out of this place? I noticed all the gates are now shut. They were open when we came in.
Oh, you can't get out. They're locked.
What? They can't do that.
It's a prison. Of course they can.
A prison? Like on the TV show The Prisoner?
No, more literally a prison.
And we're prisoners?
Yes, we're prisoners until the end of summer.
I didn't sign up for this.
Oh, you don't have to. They come get you. That's how prisons work.
Dude, the time fissure sticks.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
That one docent, he didn't know what he was doing, and he whittled a time ripper.
I think so, too.
What are you going on about, boys?
Balti, I think we're caught in a small time bubble caused by when one of the historical reenactors made a wooden time fissure detector device incorrectly and ripped a little hole in time, which made a sort of small gas bubble of time that escaped. A small self-contained universe. And we need to get that bubble back in the tear and pop it so it reintegrates into regular time.
I just sketched you doing that, and look, I made you look fat.
Stop right there.
It's the captain.
Captain? That's the docent that ripped the hole in time.
Oh, I see what happened. He made himself captain of the fort by creating a universe where that's true. But it's a small time bubble universe. It can't last.
I'll make it last by using ingenuity and what we find locally around the fort. For instance, I can dye clothes with boiled black walnuts.
You won't get away with this. First of all, we're all going to die soon.
You have to let us get this bubble universe back into the core of reality.
Oh. Oh, all right.
Good. Okay, get me a subtle knife.
Oh, what kind of subtle knife? Say, oh, that sounds like Philip Pullman.
Yes, from his book. Isn't it the same name of that book?
And in that book, they used the subtle knife to cut through to another dimension. And what did they do in that other dimension? I don't remember. It's been so long since I read the book. What would you do, though, if you could slip into another dimension? Well, what do you mean? I don't know, man. Maybe change the subject. Do you? I like my cousin every Christmas used to send me popcorn in a big tub. All right. Huge tub. What was the size of the tub? One of those. It was the size of one of those popcorn tin tubs. And it was divided in three. It was divided into regular plain popcorn, cheese popcorn, and caramel popcorn. The three types of popcorn. Now, we know now there's more than just the three types of popcorn, but hear me out. And I remember every season that I'd go through one particular side, the way that people do Neapolitan ice cream. That's three different flavors.
raspberry, cherryberry, chocolate, vanilla chocolate, strawberry, rather. And I just eat the one when there was three different types of popcorn. Then I would have to force myself sort of, by the time I ate the last of the cheese popcorn, I was excited because I realized that now I could turn the popcorn tin into a sort of a drum. And because I had forced myself to finish all of this gift from my cousin, I now had a reward. And it may have been just an empty vessel, but that empty vessel represented to me possibilities. And one of the first possibilities I put in it was the plastic skull that we had gotten for Halloween. And I put the lid on, and then I had a skull in this tin. Now, why am I telling you this? I honestly don't know. But who else am I going to tell? That's the thing. Somebody on a train? Some stranger? I don't want to do that. I want to give it to you. And it may not seem like much. Like, say, what is that, a friendship bracelet? Or that looks kind of nasty. Did you find that in the park? No, I want to give it to you, though. I've had it a long time. Yes, I did find it, but I found it a long time ago, and I've been wearing it as a bracelet for a while. Why? What is it? Oh, my friends. Are we going to, is there ever an end to your stories? Do you ever go back to the cartoons and there's a finish? Of course. That's very insulting. No, it's not. Bless your heart. I think that's wonderful. Yes, of course I do. Should we? Would you like to get back on the couch? Do you want to have I have a third of a tin of cheese popcorn. Should I get that?
This exhibit seems normal. I think we're back.
What's this, a powder horn?
It looks the wrong shape.
Excuse me. Is this a powder horn?
No, that's a sleestak horn.
A what?
A sleestak horn? The people of the fort regularly were invaded by the ancient warrior species, the sleestak.
I think we're still in the bubble universe.
Thank you, sir. Let's live here for a while and pose as a married couple of lawyers from the maritime trade.
We're a married couple or we're a couple of married lawyers?
Butchie, I don't think it matters. It's just something I made up, either one. But we try and blend in and gain the confidence of the group. We need to convince them all this protected world they live in is not real.
The bubble universe.
Right. And what's the best way to do that?
With an introductory historic film?
Exactly. The brain processes even the worst historical documentary as truth if it's reenacted with enough animal hide.
And nudity.
What?
Add implied nudity and judgment will no longer be an issue.
These are the naked native peoples of the Sleestak Golfer tribe. Their leader, Enoch Nicholas of the Titleist people, at first welcomed the fort people of Lou.
Are you sure we can build a fort here, Lou? This is your neighbor's property.
Yeah, but it's got that sweet climbing tree. I know Enoch. He's cool. He'll be cool.
And at first, Enoch was cool with having the fort that close to his eighth green. But then one night...
Hey, what are those kids doing?
They're building a bonfire on the sacred eighth putting green and waving the flag of hole.
Fools! You have desecrated Sleestak golfer land, and now they will seek revenge on us!
You have forced us to fight for our fort.
Among the fort people was a small boy named Wee Pia. Wee Pia didn't want there to be any fighting, and so he lit the moon on fire, and that's how the sun was created.
This thing's gonna need editing.
There's a lot more footage of the actual fighting, and the burning moon looks cool as all get heck out.
Yeah, but will it convince people not to hate? Will it vanquish hate and rage? I want a story that will make hearts light and that will make people love their fellow man, child, woman, man, person, being, alive thing. Those things with faces and skulls and hearts. And those in countless shapes and sizes, too. Make me a little documentary film that will change people for, like, the way a couple drinks changes them, but in a better, more together way.
You mean banish rage and heal hearts? Demand that the tormented be loved and heal all souls?
Whatever it takes for everyone to protect and cherish the weak and vulnerable, you mean? Something that will release people's souls from the wicked-making fears that warp it into a pained and desperate thing, a violent thing that destroys the sweet garden of life's pleasures?
Yeah!
I'm gonna need money for stock footage.
We can't film our own clouds?
No, it's gonna look better with stock footage and a professional narrator. There's this old guy I know, Kirk, who used to do old people powder commercials on AM radio. He's great! People will be all, that sounds like God. And he wants me to feel dry all over.
Oh, I want you to feel dry all over. I want to be able to bring some kind of talcum powder to you. I want to be able to get that moisture off of you so you don't feel like, oh, my arms are sticking to the side of my chest. My thighs are sticking together. My buttocks have adhered to one another because of this humidity that's wrapping my soul. Like, what is this desperation? Oh, like what is it? It's the feeling of defeat. I can't go nowhere. It's desperate humidity of depression. Let me come get you unsticky. Don't light a match around here. We could go up in flames. Poof! Happened to Burt Reynolds. Powder in a baby and it exploded. Look it up. I believe it happened. Oh, my friends, that we can get together like this. I just want you to place your escape a little bit. That's all. Come in a little fort, you know, where your heart feels. I know that there's real life out there, and I don't have to give you any of that. You're going to get that on your own. That's why I don't mind giving you candy, because life is giving you lots of old nasty little things that don't even look edible. What's this? It's a trail mix made up of communion wafer or something. That's not going to hear. Have a piece of candy, for gosh sakes. Let your heart be light. Oh, my goodness, let me love you for a little bit, even if it's misplaced love. I just want to feel like that's an appropriate thing to do, to love another human being, make him feel a little good for a while. And maybe I'm naive, and I'm silly, and everything, but I just want to be your pal. Put my arm around you for a minute, like the fool that I am. So I know that life is fleeting. And we're all some strange, goofy animals in weird bodies that sometimes give us pain and confusion, and over which we are rarely the master. But so for now, I want to commiserate with you a little bit and raise my glasses and say, at least today, we're alive. Oh, bless you, you're listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange. WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in blessed Rockland County, where hope lives on, and online at WFMU.org. And I am Hardy White. Thanks for listening to me. May your heart be light and your soul be free. May you step into the woods and the woods accept you back. We are friends forever. My word for pants is slacks. Yes, so much thank you so much for being with me today, and I hope I see you again next week.